My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, Matt in San Rafael. Thanks for calling. What's good?
Hey, Mark. Happy Friday to you guys. Before I get to my point, it was interesting. I was listening to what you guys were just talking about, and you guys mentioned Love and how the Packers are now happy. They weren't last year. Love has a much smaller sample size than Purdy does, yet everyone, because of his pedigree, is ready to make him the next anointed one for that franchise. And he might be. We just don't know. And then you look at Smith last night, and everyone was talking about how Geno's found his groove, and he's got a pretty big contract, and he made the mistakes that Purdy didn't. They lost the game in large part because of Geno Smith last night. Mm-hmm. The 49ers won, I believe, almost exclusively because of Brock Purdy. The two things I wanted to say are, one, I find it really kind of strange why people continue to want to dump on Purdy and not support him and not believe in him. And I don't know if it's that there's this, you know, he's a low draft pick and they don't want, you know, potentially bad players to get the pub. I don't know if it's the Niners. I don't know if it's just the way society's gone. I don't know if it's the old guard of the Niner fans saying, no, nothing will be like that. I don't know, but I find it weird. But the thing I will say is, if you take all of the emotion out of it and you just look at the way he has played, the wins, you look at his numbers, you cannot deny what he has done for this team. And I just don't get why people refuse to acknowledge that.
Well, Matt, it's a great call, and maybe we can put a different spin on it, because obviously we developed draftism, but let's spin that in a different direction. I went on a hike with the lovely Christy today, and I thought she kind of captured this really well. Do you want to know what I think a lot of this is for Brock? He just doesn't look the part. That's it. He doesn't look the part. And so we want our quarterback to look different. We want him to be bigger. We want him to have a more masculine look on his face. We want him to, you want his leadership qualities to be such that when he speaks, there's got this, like, this gravity to it. You know what I mean?
Like, which Patrick.
This
is Patrick the Frog here.
He sounds like Kermit the Frog, but he does. Obviously, he's got a presence about him, and part of that is just the rings. You know what I mean? No one's even noticed that Patrick Mahomes, if you want to play stats, Patrick looks like crap this year. Now, his team's 5-0. His interception to touchdown ratio is 1-1. 1-1.
One to one.
Okay? Six touchdowns, six picks.
Yep.
That ain't good.
No.
The caller brings up Jordan Love.
He's 18th in quarterback rating. Right.
You want to have some fun with Jordan Love? Okay, now, smaller sample because he got hurt. Jordan Love has played three games this year. He has thrown five picks already.
Yep.
His quarterback rating is 85.9, 23rd in the league, tucked right behind Daniel Jones.
Jordan Love and Patrick Mahomes are third and fourth in interception rate.
There you go.
This year.
But nobody's going to stop and question anything. Why? 6'4", 6'4", rocket arm, you look the part. I really think that's a big part of Brock Purdy. And if you don't look the part, you sort of need to look a different part. And that's where I'm going to put Lamar Jackson and Jaden Daniels, because I don't think either one of them are 200 pounds. And so you don't sort of look that part. You don't look the Jordan Love, Tom Brady, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow part. You kind of now look what I would argue is a new category. And it is the category that's been built by Lamar. He's not the first mobile quarterback, but he's the first, I would argue, to really have that devastating of moves and speed and presence on the field at a different size and perennial playoff performer, that kind of thing, even though it hasn't been great when he's gotten there. And that's the role that Jaden is going to play. You know, but even a Jared Goff, who I don't think is as good as Brock Purdy, but when you watch him on the field, you're like, oh, you look like an NFL quarterback, you 6'5" dude, you.
Yeah.
Brock does not look like an NFL quarterback. He doesn't even look like an NFL player.
Yeah, I don't know if people think that. I do think it's more about draftism, and I also think that the bias comes more from the Kyle Shanahan and the players that are around him, more so than like how big Brock is. Nobody really knows how big he is or how ruddy his cheeks are, and he's got those rosy red cheeks, and he looks like an aw shucks kind of a kid, and he's young and all the rest of it, and he may not have ever even shaved in his life and all the rest of
but
it.
But that's kind of it.
I think that it's more about the draft spot and the team and the coach, more so than it is how he looks.
Brock's going to get a Toyota commercial. He ain't getting signed by Gillette. He's not. And that's what I mean. Like, you just said it, rosy cheeks. Like, he looks, it's so aw shucks. It's so, you know, God and family and my wife and rosy cheeks.
I think it's more about the team, though, than it is about how he looks and how big he is.
There's lots of different legs on the spider.
Because Tom Brady was largely the same until he started winning titles.
6'4".
And you got to know him.
6'4".
Yeah, but slow and not with a big arm.
And like the most handsome thing that you ever seen in your damn life.
Well, you figured that out once he started winning Super Bowls.
No, I mean, it wasn't like the ladies were slow on the uptake with Tom. That's not something you don't notice. He's got a very... I hate saying it this way. There's a masculinity that the world, whether you admit it or not, you want. You want 6'4", you want howitzer arm, you want rugged cheeks. Like, you want that. You just do. And he's not that. Again, I've said it 100 times. I've got kids. I've got two high schoolers. Brock looks like the kids walking home from school with a backpack. That's what he looks like. And it's very aw shucks, and it's very, I'm going to sound like my coach and stuff, and if anything goes wrong, it's going to be me, you know, I've got to be better, and we move on. It's very, very milk and cookies, and that's not a problem at all, but I do think that's a piece of why people just refuse to believe what they see, because it doesn't look like that. Quarterbacking at the great level doesn't look like that. It never has before.
Well, if you go across the league, there's a lot of those guys. I think there's as many of those guys as there are the other guys you're describing, these big, strapping 6'5", 6'6", guys. And you talk about Kirk Cousins is another guy who's not a huge deal, and Derek Carr's not a big guy.
They're a lot bigger than Brock.
Brock's 6'1". It's not like he's 5'10", Bryce Young. I mean, he's big enough to get the job done. But
well, according to you now, but of course last week, half the world thought Brock was too short because the ball got tipped.
I never said he's too short because the ball got tipped.
You didn't, and but we talked about
it. All I was saying yesterday is that every tip ball is not the same. And balls that he throws that are tipped down the field are not really tip balls. And I'll save that for Wednesday and Greg Cosell. I got some arsenal coming next week.
I can't wait.
I'm not rolling over like I did this week.
Greg Cosell.
I got blindsided.
Well, we're live at the Madden Studios. Greg Cosell.
Yeah, I'm going to give him a couple of bams and booms, I'll tell you that.
Dan Orlovsky just said this short time ago, NFL Live on ESPN.
This is the best football of Brock Purdy's career, these first 6 weeks, because of the injuries that he's had to deal with and all the different pieces. Offensive line's been in flux. And the most consistent football of his career, the timing of their pass game right now is as consistent as it's been since Brock Purdy took over. Some of the throws to Kittle down in the red zone are absolutely flawless. And I would say outside of Sam Darnold, he's probably playing the best football of any NFC quarterback right now. The second thing is this, and I know this is big. He's entered into the Patrick Mahomes category when it comes to back-breaking runs with his legs. So many times this season, and you saw it again last night, 2nd and 10, Brock Purdy scrambles for a first down. 3rd and 8, Brock Purdy scrambles for a first down. So often we say that about Patrick. It's like, got to get off the field. Breaks your back with a scramble. He's kind of entered that world where his legs have become such a pivotal piece in massive moments.
Okay, you didn't hear it from me. That's Dan Orlovsky, who compared him to Patrick Mahomes and said we've arrived at that level.
Well, he needs to take a number because Dan Dibley had it before Dan Orlovsky tried to gravy train on my take.
Who is your favorite Dan? Who's your favorite Dan who's appeared on this show today?
I know you're not asking me.
Oh, no, I was looking at Grandy.
Of course.
He doesn't like you.
Right. You're trying to troll him to try to come at me.
I just want to see what, you know, like which take.
And Grandy's grade's coming up later today, and I can't wait to hear it. A guy trying to bury Brock Purdy after a great performance, and then he backpedaled after I put him into a corner. But go ahead, Grandy, your favorite Dan.
What? Was that directed towards me?
Well, I just happened to be looking at you when I said it.
I know you're not asking me, because the answer is me.
Okay.
You're asking me. It's me. And Orlovsky's right. If you look at his runs yesterday, a couple of scrambles, he had 4 carries in all, and at least 2 of them went for first downs. And so that's what I'm talking about. Don't just look at the numbers, people. Watch the damn tape. Do yourself a favor and watch the game.
Yeah.
Put down the nachos and watch the game. It's not about 18 for 28.
No,
it's about what he does in totality as a quarterback.
Straight from America's foremost tape watcher, Dan Dibley.
I'm up there.
Yeah.
I'm no Greg Cosell.
Zone read.
We're going to bite a kneecap off.
I'll go Dan Campbell.
Okay, perfect. That
I had to sneak that one
that
in
was
there.
Well played.
At least I'm in the bronze medal spot for now.
For now.
Yeah.
We're looking for more Dans. If your name's Dan, 888-957-957 is the number. Brian in San Ramon is next. Hi, Brian.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
What's up?
I just want to talk about, I don't think it's that unusual that he hasn't got his due respect yet, because I think even, you know, Tom Brady, when he went against Kurt Warner, he wasn't considered in the same class as Kurt Warner. And I think even after they won that Super Bowl, it was still considered kind of flukish.
Well, except for what you're referring to, Brian, at that time, Kurt Warner had already won a Super Bowl and Tom Brady had played like, what, 10 games? He played like 10 football games. And so people were like literally still trying to even understand who this was. And they were trying to process the idea of the Patriots getting to the Super Bowl after their quarterback had gotten hurt. At that time, Tom Brady felt like Nick Foles with the Eagles. It was like, well, what is this? Well, quarterback got hurt. You guys aren't going to win now. And then they did. And then they won the whole thing. So I get the comparison at a certain point in the career, but Brock is way past that point. And Brady was getting the credit by then, in large part because he had actually won a Super Bowl, which Brock hasn't done. But my take, he going to win the Super Bowl, and he's still not going to get his due.
Yeah, and I don't believe that, and I think that he's starting to get his due more and more. And if he keeps playing like he did last night throughout this season and they become a playoff team again, he's going to get his due no matter what.
We're brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Springwater. More of your phone calls, 888-957-9570. We do want to weigh in on the bad review, the kickoff situation, and Grandy's grades all still around the corner on Willard and Dibbs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Rush four. Dancing in the pocket. Intercepted. Picked off by Green. And so the rookie involved in the last play and gets involved in the next play, and the rookie out of Florida State with a huge pick.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
All right, so here's my question. How come you all don't want to read the book? How come you all want to skip to the end? My feeling last night, and we wonder what yours is. We were talking about the emotion you felt when Juice ran into the end zone, and it was just like, okay. And earlier I said the word relief, but can I add a different one?
I was exhausted.
I texted some buddies. I'm like, I'm exhausted. And the comeback is to blame for that. Seattle making a run at the Niners. Like, the Niners, I don't want to say they needed an Ottoman game. They had one against the Patriots a couple of weeks ago. But it feels like, how I would say it. Like, they need an Ottoman game when they get one that's handed to them and they won't take it. That's the issue this year. It's not that I'm one of these snooty, I expect a blowout every game fans. Like, the other teams are paid, and they've got athletes too, and they're trying and all of that. They're good too. But when you have the blowout in hand, do it. Do it. And they won't do it. They let hanging around. They keep doing that. So, relief, exhaustion. But the season for me is back on track. And I know it's not what we want it to be. We didn't want to be 3-3. We don't feel like they should be 3-3, but they are. And they currently sit in first place. And I really think that the NFC West, based on just watching these four teams, I think they're the team. They're probably going to win the division. And I also think there is a reasonable thought that the second half of the season is going to be healthier than the first. Don't know that. Don't want to jinx anything.
You never know.
You don't know. But, for example, the report that Christian McCaffrey has started to ramp up and is not experiencing any flare-up, and they are indeed now targeting a date which is Tampa Bay after the bye, week 10. Like,
well, better news than that is Ricky Pearsall's window is going to open on Monday.
That's correct.
So McCaffrey's window will not open on Monday, but Pearsall looks like his window will open and he'll have a 6-day ramp up to be ready Sunday. So it feels like you're going to have some guys coming back. You would think that Greenlaw will be one. You would hope that the kicker is one. McCaffrey's another. Pearsall's another. You never know who's going to be lost due to injury. That is football, and you right. can't count for that. But when you start to look at who might be coming in, you can get excited about the second half.
13 plus 7 plus 7.
Yep.
Like, hang on. Let's do
That's
this.
That's 27.
Well, so wait a minute. So there's these 3 days, right? Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then there's 7 more days, so that's 10. And then there's 7 more days, so that's 17.
Yeah, and then there's 7 13, more days.
So that's 30 days, okay?
Until Tampa?
30 days, they only play twice. That's a big thing to say right now. Over the next 30 days, they play twice.
Oh, from now until November 10th.
Correct.
Yeah, that's 30 days.
30
yeah.
days, they play 2 football games.
Yeah.
That should give you a second to take a breather and maybe get some people healthy. And like, I just look at this Niner team and I go, man, you're not perfect. You're clearly not perfect, but you're trying to figure it out through some weird circumstances. You've lost some players. You've not gotten some players back, some other surprise injuries, a new coordinator. Some of you will listen to this and be like, these are excuses. No. No, because every team has their adversity. But I think the Niners have had their share, and they're figuring it out, and there's kind of a hanging in there
yeah.
type of a feel to it. And this right now is October. The Super Bowl is 4 months away. We are thinking too much about the Super Bowl. Read the book. We're only in chapter 6.
And it's interesting the way you laid that out, because in the next 30 days, they'll play 2 games. In the previous 31 days, they played 6 games. So if you go from September 9th,
yeah.
the opener, through October 10th, which was last night's game, that's 31 days, and you played 6 times. So you're telling me in the next 30 days, you play twice?
Twice.
That is
wonderful.
Crazy. It's just crazy when you think about, like you're talking about, a book with 17 chapters, and the first 6 chapters of the book, there was 3 chapters that were like, what?
Yeah.
I want to put this thing down. I'm going to skip ahead to the end of it and see how this book ends, but just read the next chapter, which is a really juicy one with Patty Mahomes yeah. coming to town, and then a rivalry game against Dallas, and then a week off, and hopefully, like you're saying, at that point, maybe CMC is back, and hopefully Ricky Pearsall by then will be back, and maybe you get good news about the kicker, and hopefully by then you get some news about Dre Greenlaw. Where is he? Is he getting closer to maybe returning? Because right now, all we see him doing is roughing up the opponent on the sideline in street clothes.
Where is Law?
Totally.
That would be great. But I, you know, you've talked a lot about the rest disadvantage that the Niners have this year, and they will have it in their next 2 games because the Chiefs and Cowboys will both be coming off a bye. But there's another way to look at that, I think, which is what we just said, that over the next month of our lives, the 49ers will get a lot more time than normal to rest. And yes, some of it comes on the back end of these 2 football games, but that is significant. 30 days, 2 games. Nowhere near as fun, by the way, but 30 days, 2 games. So the 49ers have every opportunity, I think, 30 days from now, to be a different looking roster than they are in this moment, and maybe more in sync and more in flow and all of that stuff. So my suggestion is, just like, forget about the Super Bowl for right now. Like, I know why. Like, of course we're still licking our wounds. Of course. This has been a wild 5 years of a lot of fun, a lot of playoff victories, a lot of opportunities that you have not finished. And so that's going to lead us to want to get ahead of ourselves and go, oh my gosh, if you don't win this week, you're not a contender. Well, October 11th, last night was a night that the Niners told us we have got to go get this thing on track. Even though We have rookie corners, rookie safeties, rookie running backs, and the rest. We've got to go figure out a way, one way or another, to get it on track. And they did. And they did. That is,
they did.
That is a very, very encouraging thing that happened last night.
It's encouraging. I don't know if it's very, very encouraging.
I think it is.
Well, there were things that were discouraging.
Well, but that's in every game, is it not?
It is, but that spot, as I told you yesterday in Fade the Dibbers, that spot was set up to be exactly what it looked like through 35 minutes. They were playing their third game in 10 games.
Well, the
third
Niners
game in 10 days.
Niners were third day, game in 11 days. It's one extra day.
Right, one extra day, certainly. But Seattle was in a spot where teams that are in that situation, they don't normally win. They don't normally cover. And you're better than Seattle. And you are healthier than Seattle. And you're up 23-3 against Seattle. And then your not-so-special teams happened. So you could talk about the encouraging things, and we have. It's a Victory Friday. But you can also look at the things that were discouraging. And among them is an ongoing special teams problem seemingly every game something catastrophic happens. You've got a kick returner who runs into his own guy and fumbles. You've got a punt that gets blocked. You've got a kickoff return that goes 97 yards to the heezy. It seems like every game something disastrous happens.
I think that's fair. See, but look at the difference in sort of what you're saying versus what I'm saying. Your thought is a concern about what you're seeing right now. And I agree with you. I agree with you. The special teams, despite some starry moments, Jake Moody against the Jets and a blocked kick that's returned for a touchdown and somebody who's signed off the street going 3-for-3 and all of those things. Outside of that, special teams has largely been a huge problem, and that is an in-the-moment, can you please tighten the screws and fix this right now? What I'm saying, though, is stop taking the result of a football game, because I really feel like this is kind of cherry-picking. You take the final score of a football game, remove the context, and decide that's what it means for the rest of the year. That's what you're not a Super Bowl team if you can't beat the Rams and the Cardinals. It's a cherry pick. It's a cherry pick. No football team goes through the year, or very few at least, without some disappointing, surprising losses. Was it Christmas Day last year? The Niners lose to the Ravens with all the picks.
Yep.
Earlier that day, did the Super Bowl champs not lose to the Raiders?
That's correct.
With also multiple turnovers, including a pick six.
In Kansas City, if memory serves.
At Arrowhead. And they won the Super Bowl. You're going to have some stupid weeks. So that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Sure.
Like, just... yesterday was very encouraging to me.
Yeah, it was encouraging.
With the idea, not about like, oh, you looked perfect, but you went and got the win that you have to have, and the Super Bowl is 4 months away. Like, I don't even know who's going to be on the roster in 2 months, let alone 4 months. It just...
Yeah, I'm not even thinking about the Super Bowl.
But we do. Can't say that when you say Super Bowl or bust every week.
I said Super Bowl or bust at the start of the year, and then I changed it to wild card or bust, mostly tongue-in-cheek, because honestly, if you look at the NFC West right now and what we know about the NFC West, even though you're 1-2 against the NFC West, this is a one playoff berth division, in my opinion.
Probably.
The Rams are almost completely underwater. Arizona's not very good, and Seattle's lost 3 in a row, and you've kind of seen, I think, the reality of what Seattle is.
Let's play with this. Who are your playoff teams? We've watched 5 to 6 games. What would you predict?
In the NFC?
Yeah.
I would say you'd look at Washington and Philadelphia in the East.
Okay.
I think in the South, you would take Tampa Bay alone. In the North, you would take Minnesota, Green Bay, and Detroit.
Wow.
And then you would take the Niners. There's my 7.
Okay. So you're leaving the Cowboys out.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think
what you're saying is crazy.
For me, it's Cowboys or Eagles, and I do think that the Eagles have a better chance to get healthy and be better than Dallas. Although you don't play Philly, you do play Dallas. And I don't think that Seattle or the Rams or Arizona is... going to be good enough.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying how quickly in all conferences you will get to some level of mediocrity at the bottom of your playoff bracket.
Right.
There's a lot of 2-2 and 3-2.
Agreed.
In what you're talking about there, and it's very early. But by the same token, is Arizona and Seattle, are they on the level with an Atlanta, with a Dallas, a Philly? I know we're excited about Washington right now. Is that sustainable? Huge moment this weekend for them. By the way, here's another, boy, if Sunday Night Football could only flex. Good God, get this Giants-Bengals game the hell off my TV and give me Lamar Jackson versus Jaden Daniels. Are you kidding me? That game is this weekend, and that is delicious.
Yep.
That is absolutely. I don't know if just from a pure watchability standpoint, an athleticism, an excitement standpoint, is there a better matchup in the NFL right now across conferences than Baltimore and Washington? That's pretty, yep. pretty lovely stuff. And so that game, we're going to find out a lot about Washington. That's great that you're 4-1. I'm a believer. But go to Baltimore. Let's see it. Go to Baltimore and let's see it.
Yep.
And so there's a long way to go. So what looks good now may turn around and go the other way. I like what you're saying about the NFC North. That very well could be a 3-playoff team division.
And I think Chicago is a threat, but I don't think that they're quite there yet.
Probably not there yet.
And, Detroit is still really good. And Minnesota off to such a great start. I don't see them fading. Green Bay would be, for me, the wildest of the wild card of those three.
I'm going to only eliminate. Based on what I've seen, I'm going to eliminate three teams. Giants, Panthers, Rams.
Yeah. It's funny about the Rams because they, when they get healthy, they could be a team that goes on a little bit of a run.
It could be.
They have the quarterback.
Yeah, and I know that they have two phenomenal receivers who will return, but I don't think that's going to be enough.
I don't either.
Their defense would have to be better.
Of all those teams that you just mentioned, they, for me, are the most likely to make some late noise. And, you know, the only win they have this year is against the 49ers.
I know, and they are second to last in the NFC in point differential.
Which is a thing.
So.
But I am also encouraged about last night. I don't want this to come across as me being discouraged
by
any stretch. And, you know, you get to this spot and you're 3-3, and even if you go into the bye at 4-4, that's not the worst thing. And you mentioned the mediocrity in the NFL, and that's going to be pervasive throughout the year. I look at the next two games, and we'll get more into it on Monday as we lock in on Chiefs week, and it'll be fun to kind of get a look at that game as we get closer to it. But you've got the Chiefs and Cowboys both coming off a bye, so your rest disadvantage, which is legendary. Very few teams have ever, I don't think any team since 1990 have had this much of a rest discrepancy where the team that you play have a greater rest than you. You have minus 21 net rest disadvantage, and back-to-back weeks, you're facing teams coming off a bye, and you're getting to where you were last year, and I said it last year, when you lost your three straight, I knew that the Cincinnati game was going to be a loss because you were at the end of an 8-game stretch with no break, and Cincinnati was coming off a bye, and that's where Dallas is going to be this year.
Yeah, but here's how I kind of look at it, because yes, they could obviously lose in 9 days. The Chiefs are good. Andy Reid off a bye is a thing, although I don't think the Niners are going to be overwhelmed in this game by any stretch. Kansas City hasn't overwhelmed anybody they've played. They've won all 5 games, but they haven't like completely outclassed anybody when I've watched them play. That one's going to be very interesting. The Dallas game the following week on Sunday Night Football, like, yes, both teams have a rest, quote, advantage on the Niners. However, the Niners will come into the Kansas City game in relative rest, more rest than they normally get before a football game.
Yep.
That has to help. You play Dallas the next week. I just don't think Dallas is very good. I just don't. That's just me. I just don't think they've got very many weapons on offense. I don't think they can run the ball, which makes you one-dimensional, and the Niners defense handles one-dimensional really, really well. It's how they've handled Dallas in the past.
I just remember Cincinnati last year, which was a similar team. Cincinnati wasn't very good, and they came in here off a similar rest advantage, off a bye, and the Niners were in the end of an 8-game stretch, and Cincinnati came in here and hammered them.
Yeah, but the Niners were also, I think, in a really bad way at that point. different. That was the worst football they were playing all year. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. I would be surprised if you're anything worse than 4-4 going into the bye. Then you're very, very rested for what I think is a fascinating stretch of games. You know, you go to Tampa, Seattle comes here, and then there's that back-to-back at Green Bay and at Buffalo. You know, if you do keep doing the whole four-game stretch thing, like how do you do over every four games?
Yep.
I mean, even if you did those four in and went 2-2, and at some on some level you're 6-6 as December starts. And I know that sounds kind of barfy for the 49ers, but if you're 6-6 and then you host the Bears, you host the Rams, and you go to Miami. Like and you've still got a game against Arizona. Sure, you play Detroit on a Monday night. Like the Niners, they're going to get to 10 wins and they're going to win the division. Well, I just feel that very, very firmly.
That starts to get a little dicey if you're at 6-6 with 5 to go, and
sure,
you know, you've got the Rams on a short week, and I'm sure they're on a short week as well. One thing that we do need to keep in mind is the next time you play Seattle, that's another team that will be coming off a bye. And I know that Seattle has to travel here, but there's another -7 on rest differential because Seattle's coming off a bye. One of the many teams you face this year coming off a bye, which I wonder if the NFL actually looks at these things and thinks about it. Because it's back-to-back years where the Niners have kind of gotten screwed on the rest differential thing. But
I mean,
that Seattle game, for me, will be more difficult than this one is because Seattle will finally have a chance to regroup and have that week off going into it.
And that's something that they're going to have to deal with. The way I look at it, though, I mean, if I really want to go with what's the most encouraging thing out of last night, I don't think it's Brock Purdy. I don't think it's Debo, Kittle, Christian, and Claire. I don't think any of that stuff. To me, last night was the best defensive performance of the year. And you may scratch your head on that because 24 points ended up on the board. But 7 of those go to the special teams, not the defense. I'd also argue that the late touchdown, like I give a little bit of something to defenses when they look totally gassed. You know, and that happens in the fourth quarter on Thursday Night Football. Just look at the history. So I thought the defense from certain individuals, best game Nick Bosa's played this year.
He was awesome.
14 pressures is bananas. That's bananas. To have rookie defensive backs play the way that they did. Quite frankly, the secondary, that was their best game of the year. They're facing a three-pronged wide receiver attack that's really good, and they had no Charvarius Ward and no Hufanga, and you start looking at it and you're like, are these guys actually better? Are they better? Are they more disciplined? Right. And so that's very, very encouraging. And Fred Warner looked like Fred. And for the first time all year, I can't really give you any of his numbers, but there was no time where I was screaming about Devondre Campbell. That didn't happen last night.
I don't even have him on my notes at all.
There you go. So like that last night, based on opponent, based on the geography, personnel, timing, Thursday night, all of that. That was my favorite performance of the year. And with a new coordinator and most of our negative energy having been pointed at the defense this year, that to me said, okay, the Niners are getting back on track to being the 49ers again.
It was terrific, and that's a great way to put it. And I would even highlight further the big takeaway for me, the thing that made me the most excited was the draft class. The draft class shined bright from Pooney to Green to Mustafa. You had Green and Mustafa each with a pick, and you had Garendo step in, and he had the home run that ultimately put the game away. The rookies came in, and they were fantastic. The younger players all stepped up and were great. And I'm glad you pointed that out about the points because, yeah, you ended up giving up 24 points, but 7 on special teams, not the defense's fault. And that last drive, I was just going through it. You forced Seattle to go 16 plays and 70 yards, and they had to use about 5.5 minutes a game clock. And so in that spot, it's bend but don't break. And yeah, Seattle converted. I'm looking at 1, 2, 3 third downs.
And they scored on fourth down,
too,
right?
Two-thirds and a fourth. Yeah. It was two-thirds and a fourth, and ultimately on fourth and nine, they cashed it in. Big deal. That's exactly what the defense is supposed to do there, not give up the big play. Although they did give up the big play, the touchdown to DK Metcalf that got called back on a – it was pretty much a bullshit Casey Schmidt illegal shift on Seattle.
The one on Kenneth Walker?
Yes.
Oh, I saw
because
that.
He was moving. Let's be fair, because we were critical of the Niners getting called for that the week before. He was kind of twitching his arm a little bit.
He kept bouncing to the side.
He was standing there, but he didn't come set for a full second. We've criticized the refs when they've called the Niners. I thought that was ticky-tack, but ultimately it took away a DK Metcalf touchdown, so that's okay.
Here's all I'll say about it. What I don't know, on a legal shift, that flag goes up right away. It goes when the ball's snapped,
right.
The flag goes up. What I don't know is if that catches defenders' eyes and they know exactly what the call is, do you relax a little bit? Because DK went right by everybody. They just teardropped it right over their head. So, like, I'm not going to disagree with you on whether it's ticky-tack or not. What I don't know is if 49er defenders were going full speed. I mean, maybe they knew that this thing was getting called back.
There's no way they could know that. Because it could be that the Bosa jumped offside as he did earlier in the game.
No, but yeah, and the offense sees that.
But the flag comes from the far side from where DK Metcalf is. I'd be stunned if a defensive player is like, oh, that's a legal shift. I'm not trying. I'm going to take this play off.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You do see flags and you do know. Like DK caught that ball and you had Niner defenders immediately waving their hands. We're going back. We're going back. Come on back. You know what I mean? So DK, like Diamador Lenore is on social media live this morning, trolling DK for having only 3 catches. And he was like an inch away from having a monstrous game.
Yep.
A touchdown with his toe on the line. Then he had a touchdown called back by the shift that you're talking about. So it was interesting.
Diamador Lenore, another great game the secondary.
Now that's the one you pay next year.
And Fred Warner with another peanut punch. They get the first,
Warner
but he punches it out and the ball goes 7 yards back. So now it's going to still be third down. Great.
We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises. And also brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water. We do this every week shortly after the games. It's Grandy's Grades, and they are fun. They are lively, and they bring about your reaction. And they are next on Willard and Dibbs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
To the locker room, comes back. Now he's going to celebrate.
3 touchdowns in my birthday week. Thank you, Brock. No, it's fun too. You know, when you have the exact same look on technically 2 different plays, but they look the same on 2 red zone touchdowns from one Cardinals last week and then this one. This is my second one tonight. They're basically the exact same look, different routes, but ended up looking the same. I don't know if I'm going to get that look again, but I hopefully people will keep covering me like that. That's really fun.
Now back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
George Kittle. Still good. This just in.
Yeah.
Playing phenomenal this year. And with a team that's struggling in the red zone, you know, getting the tight end going the way they have is really, really good. Before we do Grandy's grades, Dibs, I need to take a moment to say something, and maybe all of us actually, wherever you are right now, and you notice with the tone of my voice, that this is serious.
Oh, God. This is okay. Serious, so. It's Friday. I thought we were having a fun show.
If you're near someone, grab a hand. I believe in the power of togetherness and energy. Just energy. Please. Someone needs your energy.
Okay.
They need your, whether that's thought, if you want to pray, go ahead. If you want to send it in a certain direction, if you just want to try to speak something into existence, let's do it. Let's do it all together. I think it would be very powerful if we did it all at the exact same time. And so if everybody could just repeat after me. Thanks, guys. Yeah, this, Grandy and Lucas are hands together in the other room. This is important to me.
Okay.
So I appreciate a moment here to address the assembled group. Please, everyone, repeat after me and say this as firmly as you can. Go Padres.
Go Padres.
Go Padres.
Go Padres.
Go Padres.
Padres, please. Go Padres, please, Padres, please, please go Padres.
Please, baby, baby, please,
please go Padres.
Come on, Padres.
Let's go, Padres.
Come on, Nerfy.
All right.
Sorry, I got personal.
Did everybody do it? Did y'all do it? I feel like you only kind of half-assed it.
Well, I mean, you were in your feelings. I have other action on the game, so.
Oh, you about that action, boss.
I'm about that action, boss. I'm about that prize picks.
Hold on a second.
Hold on.
Okay, prize picks, I know, so you didn't bet on the
Shout
actual.
Shout out, Guru. Use the promo code Guru957.
For prize picks, for those of you who don't know, you're betting on the outcomes of individuals,
right?
Not teams.
One of the individuals I'm rooting against are both offenses in the first inning.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm on the under 0.5 runs combined allowed.
I don't care. Yeah, I don't mind.
Darvish and Yamamoto, who I was told was going to be a giant by some in the room.
Well, maybe he is. If he keeps getting blown up in the playoffs, then if Farhan was an agent of the Dodgers, then why can't Yamamoto be an agent of the Giants?
Yeah. And the other prize picks, because you need to have at least 2 linked in order to.
Yeah.
I'm on the over on total bases for
don't say Mookie Betts.
Shohei Ohtani.
Oh, that's fine. Okay. That doesn't bother me. All right. Like, yeah, he's probably good.
But go Padres. I'd love to see.
And don't put your energy against a Padre win. That's all I care about.
My energy was put solely on this game five. This series to me has been everything that baseball has needed and that baseball has lacked. These two teams, when they get together, you can throw the records out and you can put the boxing gloves on, because I do think that there is genuine sports hatred,
no doubt,
among a multitude of people in this game. And so I told you earlier in the week, I wanted a game five. We're getting a game five. I hope the Padres win, and I hope it's either 9-8 or 12-11 or 1-0. I hope that this thing is both nip and tuck. I want this thing to be heartbreaking for the Dodgers in a number of different ways.
That's fine, and I'll accept that until I understand otherwise. I don't love the fact that you were pulling for a game five. The correct thing to do is pull for the Dodgers to lose as quickly as possible. I get that what you're trying to
I disagree with you there, because the heartbreak of a game five is far greater than being swept.
You're right, but it also means you're flirting with them moving on. You're flirting with them moving forward.
I've been known to flirt.
Yeah, I don't want that. I don't want the Dodgers to play the Mets.
Flirting is living, and I refuse to just mute my emotions and the thrill that is sports living.
You do you. You get to root for whatever you want. I'm just
last
telling
night,
you.
Last night's game against Seattle was far more compelling and exciting because the 49ers have no idea how to cover a kickoff. And so when Seattle scores that kickoff return for a touchdown, that ratcheted up the excitement level by about four notches.
Yeah, if you're a weirdo.
Like excitement.
That's fine, but that
I don't like Ottoman games.
If you're a 49er fan, you do. Like, if you're a fan of the team, I don't want that stress. I don't want that stress. Like,
I want that stress.
Well, you're a weirdo.
No, I'm a guy who's out here trying to live life. I don't have a lot of NFL seasons left, you whippersnapper.
Yes, you do.
I hope I do.
What are you talking about?
I don't know if I'll be here for the Chiefs game, Kyle Shanahan.
No, I know you don't.
You never know. So when it comes to enjoying sports, I like excitement. And last night, it got exciting.
You like excitement? Did you say that you like excitement?
I do like excitement. And you know what that makes me think of, don't you? One man.
Grandy's grades. Let's go. Always known as a very exciting.
How did the 49ers grade out this week? Did they pass? Did they fail? Let's find out. It's time for Grandy's grades on Willard and Dibbs.
Not only exciting, but at times a little too vocal. but, you know, it's radio, so we talk. But anyway, go ahead, Mark. Hi. Good morning.
Hey, what's up? Yeah. If you were listening earlier, you already know my grade for quarterbacks. But, well, it's Grandy's grades. We'll go through seven different spots. We'll start with quarterback, as always. Brock Purdy, for his performance yesterday in Seattle, I gave him a flat A.
I love it, and I'm happy that you've come to your senses, Grandy, and I only say that because you initially had said A-, but in fact it was an A all along. And I think when you watch a football game and you really watch it, you don't just see what a quarterback does well and what a quarterback does poorly, but watch what he does mediocre in a play that's not there. Does he do the right thing and get out of it, or scramble, or throw it away, or make the easy throw, and maybe the miraculous throw could be made, but he doesn't? I thought last night was a great example of a quarterback doing what needed to be done to win a football game. It was incredible.
This is what I'll say about the two of you and your A grade for Brock Purdy. Are the two of you in love with Brock Purdy? Do you call him Blocky Poo? Do you have posters on your wall? Is that what I'm listening to right now? Do you want Blocky Poo to come over to your house? Is that what I'm hearing right now? My gosh.
Mark, you out here sounding like a hater, my brother.
I mean, good Lord, with the two of you and your constant Purdy love. I know, for one, I'm sick of it.
I'm
sick of it.
I've paid $50 on Cameo to have Brock wish me a happy Indigenous Peoples Day on Monday.
Really?
So there's that. Okay. Major bag alert.
Major. Yeah, I get even A-, because he missed a few throws.
Like, hater.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sick of all this Purdy this and Purdy that and Purdy so Purdy and all this crap that always happens on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah.
No, it's an A-. He missed a few throws, and I hold him to that standard because I think he's that good. But yeah, really good game. Really, really good, solid road nighttime division situation for Brock Purdy.
He is the highest rated quarterback on Pro Football Focus, PFF.com. Although last night was his third highest grade of his six games. They gave him a 76.5.
What was his highest?
91.1 against the Rams.
Telling you, that was the game that I was most impressed with Purdy this year, was the Ram game. Anyway. Yeah.
Well, we all agree. He had a very nice night in Seattle.
But you guys.
No, you and I agree.
I mean, you guys are just lathering it on like usual. Anyway, go ahead.
Up next, skill positions, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends. I gave them a grade A-. George Kittle was awesome in this one. A couple of touchdowns. Debo Samuel wasn't heavily involved, but when he was involved, he was good. Of course, he had the 76-yard touchdown catch and run, which was an awesome play. Ayuk was kind of nowhere to be found throughout this one, but you also had three running backs who ran the ball well. Garendo, Mason, and Patrick Taylor kind of quietly did a good job in the second half. So an A-minus skill position group for me.
See, I'm going to actually give it an A because you remember the sort of debate that we got into week one when it's like, where's the demerit? I never saw a drop ball. I saw Debo Samuel turn what could have been a disaster of a throw from Brock Purdy into a catch on the very opening series on third and one. You saw the running back room go through total adversity, and you're getting RB4 and RB5 in there closing out games. George Kittle, obviously, an A-plus kind of a performance. I thought the skill position players were clean. I didn't see them make any glaring mistakes the entire night.
You're right, and I'm thinking about it now because I wrote down my grades after I watched it earlier, and I also wrote down A-, but as you were saying A-, Grandy, and you were explaining your A, I flipped through my notes to try to find a demerit or a play, and I'm having a hard time finding one, so I'm feeling like my A- might be misguided.
The only demerit you could think of is if you're mad at Eric Saubert for basically committing a motion penalty deep in their own zone. If you want to use that for an A-, I don't really think much of Eric Saubert when I'm making my grades.
Well, there was the one Juwan Jennings catch that we thought was a catch that turned out to be a drop, which would have made it, instead of 3rd and 17, would have made it 3rd and 15. Remember, he kind of caught it, he trapped it, and then they looked at it and they said, no, you didn't catch it, and so that 2-yard gain was negated. Whatever.
Okay.
I think I'm out of line with the A-.
A-minus for me because Ayuk, show up, buddy. Come on.
Well, but they didn't, like, again.
He's got to get the ball thrown to him, kid.
Yeah, what were the targets?
Okay, Greg Cosell.
Yeah, exactly. Was he open? Was he open or was he not open?
He had four targets.
He had just two catches, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And one of them I wrote down in my notes, he got held on that third play in the second half where it was targeted to him, it was incomplete, and the guy was basically, he held him so long, he should have given him a corsage.
We also did not bring up the name Kyle Juszczyk, and I thought he was...
Touchdown as well, yeah.
Yeah, not just, I mean, phenomenal game for him, also blocking and leading the way for the runners. He was great.
All right, up next, we got the offensive line. I thought this was maybe their best game of the season. Not the best pass rush they're going up against, especially when you consider the Seahawks' injuries. I thought 4 out of the 5 players had a really, I guess really maybe 5 out of the 6 had a good night because there were a couple that were in and out, including Aaron Banks. Spencer Burford came in and replaced him. Jake Brendel was a mess at center, but everyone else was awesome. I gave the offensive line group an A- for their performance overall.
I mean, if you're going to name 1 of the 5 players as being a mess, and he did commit a very, very big penalty in the game. I love, again, the handling of adversity with Banks going in and out. You're running the ball with multiple people. It's a very, very good performance, but something in the A bracket is a little bit too hot for me. I lean more toward B+.
Yeah, it's a B+ for me, and the one penalty that we're all talking about, Jake Brendel, went from 2nd and 8 to 2nd and 18, and it prompted a punt. So those are the kinds of penalties that you can't have. A couple of false starts in there as well from the offensive line. Very good, but not A-level. It's a B+.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. You are also listening to Grandy's Grades.
All right, coming up next, after the offensive line, we go over to the defensive side of the football, and that is the front seven. This obviously buoyed by Nick Bosa, who was awesome in this game. Front seven is the D linemen and the linebackers. Fred Warner was also very good as well. You guys talked about that peanut punch where he took away a first down that was already gained. An incredible play there. Bosa was incredible. Those two carry this grade of an A- for me from the front seven.
Yeah.
I dig it. I think I can carry that. Fred was fantastic. Nick was dominant. I felt like the pass rush in one way or another was effective without sacks the entire night. They really, some of those interceptions were forced by the defensive line, which I think is the concept of the 49ers defense. And even everybody's favorite whipping boy, Devondre Campbell, no major mistakes, three solo tackles in the game. A- feels about right to me.
I had the same, A-, and I believe the only sack they got was on the final drive of the game, if I'm not mistaken.
And it was Sam O.
Yeah, Sam O had one, and Givens had a little bit, but it was really the Bosa show for the most part. Fred Warner playing a little bit in a hampered fashion, and you're right about, Devondre, we didn't mention him at all. He hasn't shown up at all in my notes. All in all, very good, but an A- because I would have liked to see them get their hands on Geno. And how many times did Nick Bosa have him in his grasp?
Like at least five.
Right. Maybe he needs to. Remember that hand thing where do this hand exercise thing?
Geno's a big man. He's a big man. He moves pretty well.
So is Nick.
And he's a veteran who I think got rid of the ball at the right time. But again, that Mustafa interception was caused by Nick. So you can get a sack or a pick. Which one's more exciting to you? I'll take the pick.
Yeah.
So I hear what you're saying, though, for sure.
There was one play in the second half where I think this is the one you're referencing, Dibs, where Bosa actually stripped the ball.
Yes.
Geno lost it for a second, then kind of pinned it to his hip, and it seemed like Bosa was so set on trying to get the ball that he kind of failed to get the sack, and he ended up missing both because Geno recovered. But all in all, an awesome day for Nick Bosa and Fred Warner and company. On to the secondary. I thought this was the best group of the day for the 49ers, and when you consider that the Mooney Ward injury, you're already down Hufanga as well. You had a couple of interceptions from rookie defensive backs after you had none from any defensive backs through 5 weeks. The secondary gets an A from me for last night.
I don't know how you can't, just because of the fact, were they perfect? No, but you can't ask for that, especially with the adversity you face. Not only does Charvarius Ward not play, you don't even know that he's not going to play until an hour before the game. And to have rookies come in and affect the game the way they did between Green and Mustafa, that has got to get an A. And oh, by the way, Lenore, chef's kiss yet again.
Yes, and I also give him an A, and I'm looking through and trying to find demerits, and I see Lockett in a 37-yard catch with Yadam in coverage. The Niners rush five. They picked it up, and there were a couple other pass plays that were just tip of the cap to the offense. The offense is going to make some plays, and I'm hard-pressed to remember any pass interference. There might have been one PI penalty on the 49ers, if that, but in general, not only were they clean, but they actually took the ball away from the other team for the first time twice from rookies. For me, that's a solid A grade.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. So special teams, this is where we get first non-passing grade of the day for the 49ers. Special teams gets a D. I know Kyle Shanahan was talking about how, special teams made some plays for us and stuff. They also gave up the kickoff return for a touchdown that immediately changed the tide in this game. You were about to close the door on the Seahawks, up 23-3. Laviska Shenault, 97-yard kickoff return right after that. They get a stop. They score again. Suddenly, it's a one-possession game, and it all happened because of what happened on special teams. So, a D special teams for me.
I'm going to sound like Dibs here for a second and then let him answer first, but a D is a passing grade.
Yep.
You get your credit.
Trust me.
On you go to the next year.
My fault. Motto was anyway, D's get degrees going through college. And
D stands for done.
Well, it turns out you need to get more C's than D's, because if you're sub 2.0, you actually get in some academic trouble. I'm going to push back on this, and I gave him a C+. And the reason is, yes, the kickoff return is completely unacceptable, but when they got into a tight spot in a 6-point game, you had the punt that Seattle touched and you recovered and it was a blown call by the officials, you didn't get it, fine. The next time you had the ball and you punted, Wisnowski put it from there. They were on Seattle's 40, and he did one of those little 9-iron, backed it up to the 3-yard line.
Got to back that thing up.
Look at that punt once you back that thing up. That was the punt that ultimately led to the green interception. And I also thought that they had a couple of impressive kick returns. Debo had a couple where he took it from the 2-yard line. And you also have to tip the cap to the kicker who just came off the street and nailed three field goals. It was a mixed bag, but I gave him a C+.
They also forced a fumble on a Seattle kickoff.
That's a great point. I like C minus. I'm kind of in between you two guys because, to Dib's point, there's really only two things the entire night in special teams that I thought stunk. And then a lot of the rest of what you saw was great. From a kicker off the street going perfect, it was definitely Wisnowski's best night. They did force one turnover, and let's be real, they actually got two. Thank you very much, camera angles not being available. So I thought they were very good, except for two plays. The reason it goes all the way down to C- is one of those two plays was potentially a backbreaker. I mean, the worst kind of play at the worst moment in the LaVisca Chenault kickoff return. Here's the other one that you left out, and I am going to continue to put this on the special teams coaches until they freaking have the conversation they need to have. Hey, kickers, stop throwing your body at the ball carrier. You're allowed to be in the back as a fail-safe to try to force someone out of bounds or slow them down by diving at their ankles or something like that. Try an arm tackle, and if you don't get it, you don't get it. But 2 weeks, two kickers hurt. Stop being overly aggressive. I know that's what men do. Stop. Stop. You're a kicker. You're a kicker. Like, literally, can we look up what is the height and weight of Matthew Wright?
I think he's 6'4", 265, I believe.
Are you ready for this? I'm looking at it right now.
5'10", 190 would be my guess.
Okay. You say 5'10", 190.
Just
Grandy,
guessing.
What's your Matthew Wright size, height, and weight guess?
Oh, I just looked it up.
Okay.
So, sorry.
Are you ready for this, Cat?
Please.
Dog is 5'11".
Yep.
174.
Man. No abundant life for him.
174. And you're out there throwing your body at dudes whose thighs weigh that much. Stop! Just stop! Thank you for listening to my TED Talk.
You're welcome.
He kind of jumped the whole bit because that might come up in the next category for some. But I do want to point out one more special teams play. The first punt from Seattle where Cowan gets it after a 60-yard punt, and he's got room to run, and he just falls down.
He slipped twice.
He stumbled.
Yeah.
He could not keep his feet all night long.
I'll take a stumble over a fumble, but I hear you.
That's a four.
Thank you. You're not wrong.
Last category here on our report card, it is coaching, and coaching for me gets a B+. I was frustrated for much of the first half. I thought Kyle Shanahan was relatively vanilla. He changed it up a little bit more in the second half, and then a lot of the special teams blunders that you guys are talking about, that also falls on coaching for me. So that's why they're not getting an A B+ for me in coaching.
That feels about right.
Yep.
That feels about right. I mean, look, it's hard when you're the coaches to get an A because the coaches are in charge of everyone. And not everyone's going to have a perfect night. So I think it's fair to give them a B+. I also think that's a pretty good grade for a coaching staff as a whole. There's never been a football game where people love every play that Kyle Shanahan called, but when you score 36 points, you score 36 points. That's an A+, sort of an output for an offense. So with all things considered, yeah, B+ sounds about right.
I will echo your TED Talk without repeating that 90 seconds. That to me is coaching when your kickers repeatedly try to tackle people. And I mentioned it earlier in the show, going empty formation in the red zone when your running back is being very successful to me is not the proper approach. Those are the only demerits, but you're right, Mark. When you win a game with 36 points and you win it by double digits, tough to go lower than a B+.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.